Okay, welcome to episode 13, I think, of the Fuck a Diet Radio. My name is Caroline Duner, and I am your host and the creator of thefuckadiet.com, which is an anti-diet helping people and inspiring people to become normal with eating and with their body image. So today, what I am going to play for you guys is a conversation that I had with a friend of mine from high school theater. We did like high school theater camp together. And she is a really amazing, inspiring person. And I want you guys to hear her perspective on self-care and the way that she looks at her own personal body and health struggles. She has a chronic pain condition that has been really difficult and debilitating and stressful, and she has searched high and low for a cure and come around to a really, really amazing way of looking at her personal struggles and how she takes care of herself and how she kind of looks at herself and how it's changed the way she looks at life. And I just think that she's amazing, and I hope that the conversation is inspiring and enlightening and helpful. So in a moment I'm going to play that for you guys. And in the meanwhile, I just want to remind you that this podcast is on iTunes, and if you have an iPhone, you should subscribe and listen on your phone, and it'll also let you know when there are new episodes on your phone. And also, if you want to support this podcast, you can do a number of things. You can support it on patreon.com as little as $1 a month, patreon.com/Caroline Duner. You can also support this podcast by joining any of my programs. And they are Fuckateer Academy, which is a monthly membership program that has monthly themes and lessons, a monthly live Q&A, monthly energy work, which is a way that I help people move past old triggers. And on top of that, there's a new 18-day food ease course that comes along with the program when you first sign up. So essentially, when you first sign up, you get access to all the monthly content, and you also will get, over the first 3 weeks, kind of instructions on how the course works, and then also this 18-lesson course in your email that'll help you on the Fuck It Diet. So if you're interested in that, it is $35 for the first month and for that course. So you'll really get a lot of content in the first month just for $35. And then after that, every month is $45. And you can join and cancel whenever. And it's really, really awesome. And in addition to that, I also have a program called Become Your Own Damn Guru. And it's an intuition intensive. And it is running in October. And I just filled it up halfway during early enrollment. And at the end of August, I'm going to open up enrollment again. And there are 11 slots. And I would love it for you to join that if that speaks to you at all. And you can find way more information about all of these things at thefuckitdiet.com. The very last thing that I want to tell you is that you can also rate and review this iTunes. Fuck, no, that's not right. You can also rate and review this podcast on iTunes. You can rate and review this iTunes on podcast. Look up thefuckitdiet.com. If you give it a rate and a review, you will help it get in front of other people's eyes who may be looking for this very thing. So those are all of the ways that you can help this podcast become better and more wonderful. And I thank you all for your support. And without further ado, here is my awesome friend, Claire.
I won't talk about your personal history, Caroline, because I know this is a public podcast. But
I talk about my personal history on this podcast.
Well, I remember staying over your house one night, and you were like, I have to run every day. Mm-hmm. I make myself run, even though I hate it. I hate, like, you know, but my mom says I need to run, and I do, because I have a disease. I'm fated. I'm ill-fated to always. And like, I never really understood. I was like, what exactly? Like, it's a hormone thing, or like thyroid, or like something with weight gain. And like, you never seemed to have a problem with weight, but you were just like obsessed with it.
I know.
It was just,
I
you
mean, it
know.
was like a real, I really was diagnosed with PCOS, and they really do say, like, if you don't keep your weight under control, your weight will control you, and like, your life is gonna like spin out of control. So like, be careful. And then my mom was like worried for, cause like, people really do have health problems from it, but I don't think it's from it. I think it's an umbrella, like,
Yeah.
it's like an umbrella term. Anyway, so yeah, so I'm glad that you're able to speak to my past, just in case everybody thinks that I've like always just been some like wise, like
No.
non-exercising. No, I was really miserable and obsessed. And so I'm glad that
But so
you.
all, I feel like most of us, you go through a point of misery. Like I was prepping for this. I was like, oh, what am I gonna talk about? And I got out a bunch of my old journals.
What
Well,
did you learn?
I really hated myself, and I was really like, it was just terrible. You know what I mean? Like you just like, it's just like, I don't know.
Well, you think it's responsible. You know what I mean? You're like, it's responsible to hate myself. Like, I'm not good enough, so like, if I can hate myself, then I'll become better, and then I'll have
Yeah.
done my job. Like, that's sort of like, I don't know if we're taught that or if it just seems logical while it's happening, but that was my experience. It was like, oh, like I can't just let this go.
Yeah.
Because then I'm really going to be miserable and ugly, and I'm going to, like, it's going to be all my fault.
Yeah.
You know? I don't think that that's true at all, and I don't think it's helpful at all, but I think that, you know.
Well, yeah, you learn like from a young age that like there are things that are in your control and you're supposed to control them. Like, oh, well, if something's going wrong, whether it's, your body image issues or whatever else in your life, it's like, well, I must not be working hard to like fix it. Like if this thing is going wrong, then like something, it must be my fault in some way. I'm not working hard enough, or I'm not like,
And we're
doing the right.
totally taught that. I mean, that's what all the magazines say. They're like, just do this simple thing and you'll be like beautiful. You know, like, don't do this or you won't be and it'll be all your fault, you know?
Like, yeah, like it's just a lot of searching for things outside of yourself that can like fix your situation. And a lot of like, oh, well, if I just lived somewhere where I could get more exercise, like if I just lived in Southern California, then like, of course, I would be, I mean, my issues are different than yours. So like, for me, it's always been like, oh, well, if I could exercise all the time and there wasn't snow on the ground, well then I would exercise all the time and I probably wouldn't be in pain because I would keep it under control better. I would be better at keep and this is ridiculous because I'm like I keep it more in control than I, you know what I mean? Like it's
Right.
not
You're already doing what you
I
need to
do
do.
much more than I even need to. You know what I mean? And
Right.
like and but I used to talk to myself like that in kind of a way of like if only like if I didn't have this, I don't know, just if this, if this, then I could do this, or other people have it easier or
Right.
whatever. And it just becomes this cycle of like putting yourself saying that like you're the cause of a problem or something,
Yeah, you're miserable because of your
Yeah.
own actions or inactions. And
Yeah.
that's a horrible, horrible thing to put on yourself. It just makes everything worse. So, will you talk a little bit about your journey through what your particular like health or pain struggles are? Like, what do you label what you experience as like chronic pain or something like that, or do you prefer not to do that?
It's funny because like yeah like that like I really don't like when people ask I say like I have a chronic pain disorder or I live with chronic pain because it gets really confusing like medical diagnoses are really like effed up a lot of the time and I've had some doctors tell me I have like fibromyalgia but like according to like MRIs, I have like a degenerative disc disease and I have slip discs and herniated discs and this and that. And, but like everyone's going to say something different. And honestly, for me, it causes me more, you know, it's more stressful to try to like put things in a box, because then it feels like, oh, it's not even that. It's that I have moved so far beyond that, that when like when people first meet me and they say, oh, you have chronic pain, well, like, what's the matter with you?
Right.
Like, well, actually, like, it's way too complicated, but also like very simple. It's more just like, this is like a, for me, it's like, I have come to accept that this is just something that that is part of me and part of my life and part of the way that I, like part of the one of the challenges that I've been given in this life, and it's something to go away. And so sometimes when people ask me like, well, what's actually wrong with you, it reinforces this feeling that like I'm supposed to be working to fix it, you know, and I'm supposed to be searching for, I'm still supposed to be searching for a diagnosis. Like this happened, ugh, gosh, no, there's no linearity here. Like I was in a car accident in when I was 17, and that's kind of when this started, and like I, you know, have had pain since then. But you know, there's a lot of like back and forth, and like lots of people are in car accidents and have pain. Lots of people are in car accidents and don't have pain. Some people wake up one morning and brush their hair, and then they have pain for the rest of their lives. You know, so again, when people ask me like, why did, like, what's wrong with you? What's your diagnosis? You know, it's more comforting for me to feel like I've accepted the fact that this is just like part of my life and something that makes me a stronger person, and something that's like helped me to develop like better strategies at dealing with whatever challenges I face in life, as opposed to something that I have to be continuing to work to like discern and figure out what, you know, figure out a new medicine to try or a new therapy to try. Like if I want to try something, I'll try it, but I'm not going to make it my life's work to track down the why of things and to be like, why, you know, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with my body? Because even if there is something, and yeah, there's something like, you know, that's different about my body than other people's bodies, but I'm not really interested anymore in understanding like why and fixing it, you know? I'm more just accepting that like I have a hyper, like pain is basically like a hypersensitivity. Like your cells, you know, feel touch. And to me, when I'm wearing a bra, as you know, Caroline, I hate wearing bras because bras to me feel painful because it's like that like tight sensation. And you know, so I guess you could say, oh, maybe in you know, some way of understanding it, I don't know if I cut out there. My body's just like hypersensitive, and that gets translated into pain signals. You know, it's like a neurological kind of like firing issue that, you know, sure, if I met somebody someday and they were like, oh my God, I can cure your pain, I'd be like, oh, I'll listen to you and see what you have to say, but I'm not gonna jump up and down and be like, yes, finally, you know?
And
You
I
can't
th there's such
Life waiting for that. You can't live your life waiting for a cure to your problem.
a parallel to literally everything that people do with chronic dieting. They're like, there's a cure. There's a cure for my like ugliness and my like body that I hate, and I'm gonna find it, and when I finally find it, then I'll be happy. Then I'll let myself do the things that I want to do. Then I'll let myself go out in public and not like want to hide. And that is miserable, and that is not a way to live. And that was the same thing that I was doing with my own health stuff. I was like, if I can just find the perfect diet, then all of my health stuff will go away. Then, and with hormonal stuff, it's like my stuff is like cycle stuff. Like my cycle's all whacked out, and sometimes it's normal and sometimes it's really not. And when it's not, I'm so tempted to be like, this is my fault. Like, what am I doing wrong? And it just doesn't help. And the more I surrender to maybe never curing, quote unquote, curing myself, and like the more I think, well, what would my life be like if this just was always the case? My life would be fine. My life is awesome. You know what I mean? This is a thing that has made me a more empathetic person. It's made me go like really extreme and have to learn so hard from it, and is the reason that I'm doing the work that I'm doing now to teach people essentially not to do that and to not put your life on hold. So it's had really great like spiritual outcomes for myself.
Yeah.
What kind of a bitch would I be if I hadn't experienced this?
I don't know. Like, you would have had to experience something else shitty.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of like, I don't know, not something else, but it just does
No,
seem like,
totally.
you know,
Totally.
if you don't go through something like this, whether it's with body image issues and weight, or if it's with pain, or if it's with mental health problems or financial distress, or like whatever you have going on in your life, you know, like you get to like choose, or if you're going to like take those things and let them fuel your like will to just keep fighting. And like every time you come across a new challenge, you can just be like, wait, but I did that. You know, like if I dealt with that shitty, you know, time in my life, and not even a time in your life, but if I used to deal with my brain saying that to me, you know, like I don't have to go back to that way. Like I can just continue to like pump myself up and be my own, like, you know, I don't know, your own cheerleader and your own like best friend and your own person who's like, no, you're the best. Why would you, you know?
Yes. Okay. Can we go back and talk about, no, I love everything you're saying. Can we touch a little bit on the years that you were deeply searching and what that was like for you? And like, mm-hmm. So I don't know whether it happened all of a sudden or whether it happened over the course of time that you went from a state of like, I have to cure myself. I refuse to live like this. I have to find the cure. My life isn't complete until I find the cure. And then I'm guessing there was a shift to like, that's not working. That's not making me happy. Let me try this way. What was that like? What was it like before you kind of came around to?
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, I was in a car accident like my senior year of high school. So in the fall of senior year, and I, you know, I got into college and kind of, I felt like I was on a timeline, you know, like I had to get better by the next fall so I could go to college. And it just, you know, I just tried a million things. God, it's so hard to boil this down, but like I tried tons of different medications, went to, you know, tried physical therapy, acupuncture, chiropractic. I had spinal cord injections, you know, like I had, you know, just like lots of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think the big difference that I see between me then and me now is that like, gosh, I just trust myself more. And I trust that like, cause it's really hard when you have like a medical problem, and that could be like a body image issue too. Like it's really, gosh, it's really hard to trust that like you know what feels best and that you maybe can sense when you're going in a good direction and like your intuitive genius, you know, because for so long, like it was like, somebody save me. It was like, mm-hmm. somebody fix me. Mm-hmm. Somebody fix this problem. Somebody tell me what to do. Tell me which exercises to do, when to do them, how many to do, what are they doing that it's helping me? What should I not do? Oh, I shouldn't run. Oh, I shouldn't dance. Oh, I should swim. Oh, I should do, you know, it was like always like putting it in the hands of other people, you know, to like help me. And then, you know, and so, you know, obviously it's been a long time of kind of, so I was 17, I'm 29 now. So it's been like 12 years. And I was on a lot of medications, you know, different times in my life, like during college, I was on a lot of medications I was probably like somewhat medicated in college. And a lot of this was to deal with pain. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but I had there were a lot of side effects from taking, you know, there's some like, you know, traditional like antidepressant medications that also are used to treat fibromyalgia and chronic pain syndromes. And then there's also like anti-anxiety medications are also smooth muscle relaxers. Mm. So those kind of medications also helped my pain, but I was like sacrificing other parts of myself, you know? Mm-hmm. So gosh, it was like back and forth for a long time. And kind of like the, I guess the, consistent through line was just me kind of trying to, I don't know, almost be in survival mode of thinking, like, I just have to deal with this so that I can keep living my, so that I can get back to my life. And, you know, and there were a few good years in college. At least when I look back, I think, oh, those were good years, right? But it wasn't, because mm-hmm. you know what? I wasn't dealing with pain. I was dealing with depression or right. anxiety, because right. it was like I had medicated away this pain, and instead a whole slew of other problems came toppling on top of it. And, you know, I love that time in my life. It was like really chaotic and crazy and upsetting, but like, oh my God, I appreciate it, you know? I learned so much about myself during that time. And I look back on it like, not like, oh, I wish that never happened, but more like, oh God, I'm so glad that happened. I'm so glad it's not that time anymore.
Yeah, I'm so glad it happened back then.
Yeah.
So I could learn that then, you know?
Yeah. Cause you know, I guess by the time I graduated college, I'd gotten off some medications and on some medications, and it was just, my physical pain, and I think just the emotional pain of transitioning into a new time in my life was just like ended in it exploded me into the uncertain world of being an adult without the structure of school.
Do you remember we spent like a weekend or a week together? That would have been my senior year, and I guess
sure sometime yeah.
Yeah, that was when, but you know, what's so sad is that I remember my life based on what diet I was or wasn't on at the time. I was trying to eat like a French person at that time.
Okay.
I thought I was yeah. really successful. I thought I figured it out.
Yeah.
When you were there.
I don't remember like specific times. I remember there was a time where you were eating like ice cream that was actually just like raw, like beans or something.
Oh, yeah.
Frozen. You were like, this is great.
That was when I was a raw vegan.
Okay, so there right? you go. I don't know. Maybe.
I think. I don't know. It's hard to say.
Yeah.
That sounds right to me.
Yeah.
Okay, so then there was a transition into real life, into quote-unquote yeah. real life.
Yeah, so I guess that was when I was around 22, and this also coincided. I think basically what happened is I was just going through college and just saying, what can I do, survival mode, to just keep myself afloat? Mm-hmm. And it all kind of just like cracked open when I – like during my, like that last semester of my senior year, like I just kind of like came face to face with the fact that like this was not an easy fix, you know, that it wasn't like I'm going to just find a pill or find a therapy or get an exercise or do something that's going to fix me. It was like, no, this is like a deeply ingrained thing in me. It also, that kind of happened because I was started taking Feldenkrais classes.
That was the time. I remember that. That's like why you were there or something.
I mean, probably. I Feldenkrais is a very it's kind of hard to explain, but it's like a movement method that has helped me a lot deal with my pain. And a big tenet of this method is that it's like a mind-body awareness thing. It's about attention. It's about attending and being aware of, you know, the way your body wants to move versus the way that you are moving. And you can apply that to all parts of life. So it can be like the way you are being versus the way you actually, your person, your body actually wants to be, you know, in the world. And I was kind of like coming right up against all of these like hard realities of this Feldenkrais method, because it was kind of everything I was doing in my Feldenkrais classes was kind of like encouraging me to just like allow this other energy to kind of come through me that was really scary, you know, like and I still do sometimes, like I would cry just uncontrollably and not really. And it wasn't because I was in pain. It was just this like release of energy from like the depths of my soul, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And like that was, I think, the beginning of me saying, no, this is what's working for me. You know, like this, like, you know, being like truly who I am and like feeling the, I don't even know, feeling like the full depth of the emotional pain that I am in, whether it's because of my physical pain or my life situation right now, or because I'm just like a dramatic person at my core. Like, I just was like, I'm going to cry when I want to cry, and I am going to meditate on the bus, and when I'm with my friends, or I'm going to sit on the floor instead of in this chair, I am going to not wear a bra. I am going, you know, and like, because it was just, I didn't drive because I, you know, I had to move. I went to school in New York, and I could not take care of myself. I couldn't hold bags, you know, because my arms were limp, you know, like I just couldn't keep the muscle tone in my body. And at the time, that's just what I needed to do. Like, I was like, I can't hold that bag. There's no way. I will wear this fanny pack and this fanny pack alone. And I will, you know, I don't even know. So anyway, my parents, you know, picked me up, basically rescued me from college and brought me back to Philadelphia, you know, where I lived, you know, in their house for like a year and like went to yoga class every morning. And, you know, and I did like yoga and Feldenkrais and, pretended like I was trying to search for a job, but like, I really, my brain was not in the right place that I think I had a few jobs then, like random, like I worked at a yoga studio. I worked at like Cozy, like random things, but it never, my brain was actually in the place of like, no, I just need to do this right now for
myself.
Which
is amazing. And can I ask, like, do you think that part of doing Feldenkrais or experiencing Feldenkrais or experiencing whatever shift that was the thing that jogged, like, what it sounds like is it jogged like an epiphany of like, oh my God, I need to experience life in a different way. And like, I need to do all these things for myself. It sounds like there was a huge shift into what some people call self-care and what we can call self-care if we want to.
Like someone for the first time, my therapist like told me about like meditation, and I'd always been like, that's not for me, you know?
Right.
And I got into that around the same time. Cause it was like, all of a sudden I was like, wait, like, you know, and it's crazy because I was like, oh my God, the way I've been living is wrong. You know, this is the way I'm supposed to live.
Right.
You know, and for a long time, like I, like, you know, Rachel Stevens, and you can say her name. I'm sure we talk about this all the time, but Rachel and I really butted heads when I was going through this time. Cause she was like, Claire, come back to me, like be yourself. And I was like finding this kind of new
self.
And, you know, and I have come full circle, I think, because I think for me in that period of time when I was really like kind of having this like epiphany, like I felt I didn't have a lot of a sense of humor about it, you know, which I think is the main thing, is a huge part of who I am. And so that was really hard on the people around me because I was like having these like mind body, like psychedelic experiences without even having drugs, and everyone was like, Claire, like you're just not yourself. And I was like, this is me. I need to roll my head and feel the waves of the earth. Like, I don't even know.
I mean, you are such a, like, like for everyone listening, Claire, and you can probably tell, but like such a big part of you is your sense of humor about this whole thing, which is so refreshing and so healing. And so it's really interesting for you to be aware of the fact. I mean, I didn't really, we didn't spend that much time together during that time. But I kind of do remember you being in crisis mode, but being around you more recently, it's like your sense of humor about life and about your life and about your experiences and struggles is so amazing and fun to be around and healing. And one of the huge reasons why I wanted to talk to you on the podcast, because I think that just experiencing you and your relationship to all the things that you've been through and all the things that you've learned and your humor and your like humorous way of looking at it is so helpful in healing and really what I think we all could use.
Yeah.
And we could all use a big dose of that, like, of a kind of like, of a, this kind of like really strong, like, hey, you might not understand, you might not agree, you might never understand why I'm sitting on the floor or why I had to steal that that cushion from
yeah.
the but I had to steal yeah. that cushion so I could sit on it so I could be comfortable, and this is what I need, but also like a deep humor about it, and it's just so awesome.
Yeah. No, I think that's like when I found that, I was like, oh, like that's what dug me out of like the deep, deep sadness. Cause like, that's like, it's, I, you know, I think lots of people probably laugh and then cry and then cry to laugh. But like, I think you've probably seen one of these episodes that I've had, Caroline, but like, they've been happening a long time. But I literally sometimes, you can ask Mara and Rachel. We were sitting on the bench last week. We had dinner, and I was just so happy being with them that I literally started sobbing, like out of nowhere. Like I was laughing, and then I was just sobbing. And I, you know, and I think it's because like deep sadness and like immense joy and laughter is like so close. Like those things are so right next to each other. And so sometimes when you're just really feeling the joy of life, it also comes with like all of like this emotional, I don't know, weight of life. Yes. And it's not about things being light. Like I think sometimes I used to think like, oh God, I need to be more lighthearted about this. But no, it's not really, for me at least, my path hasn't been about making this lighter. It's been about just like digging into the deep, heavy, sometimes upsetting and sad reality that like, you know, sometimes I'm in a lot of pain, but like, fuck if I'm gonna let that hold me back, you know?
Yes. It's an amazing, again, I keep saying this, but it's a really great balance of true honoring of like the intensity of life and the intensity of emotions that we are meant to experience, and also such a, like there's a light, you have a lighthearted perspective about the intensity of life.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's so great because you're honoring both. You're honoring all the things, you know, and you're like, I think something that so many of us have to learn because we develop the coping mechanism of like not feeling because we think that that's stronger.
Uh-huh.
And then what I feel like one of the things that I want to keep teaching people is like, no, it's all waiting for you in there. Like if you're not going to feel it, it's just waiting for you to like eventually surrender to it, drop into your body. And there is like, there is healing in crying, but there's also like a lot of joy and sadness that we don't want to have to feel because it's intense and we feel like there's something wrong with us for experiencing it.
Yeah.
And the more we avoid it, the more there is, you know what I mean? And but even like, you know, I think it would be a misconception to say like, oh, just start feeling it and then it'll go away. Like it's, you're a human, you know, you're going to keep feeling your whole life as you should. Like that is what being alive is about. And and that's something that we're not taught or something. Why not?
And sometimes we even, I think, you know, like whatever family you grow up in, like, you know, you see kids just like, God, you see kids like crying and throwing a fit on the street all the time, right? Mm-hmm. Not on the street, but you know, you're out in a restaurant. Some kids like, you know, just starts crying. And like, you basically learn, like, as you become a more mature person to hold those feelings in, but then you don't ever release them, like, while you're in the comfort of your own home. Because you're like, well, this is the person I'm supposed to be, like, in society, but you don't ever give yourself a break and say, yes, but there's still a little, like scared, terrified child inside of me that maybe once in a while needs to express that they're scared about something or that things are hard, you know, and sometimes just letting yourself acknowledge that is like such a relief.
Exactly. And then you're actually able to like process that and like have some sort of growth, you know, not only that, but we start to become afraid of those emotions if we don't let ourselves feel them. So it's like a whole new emotion. Like the fear of the emotion, the fear of being swallowed by the emotion, the fear of if I cry, if I let myself cry, I'm never going to stop. If I let myself be sad, I'm going to be sad for the rest of my life.
Yeah. Or if I let myself cry, that means I'm a sad person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that means like I, Like it becomes like part of your identity, you know?
Right. I wish that like there was some sort of like part of school that taught this, because it's so important, and so many of us grow up like not letting ourselves feel. I think, Pixar tries.
Yeah.
Pixar tries to teach kids that you're allowed, like that Inside Out, right? I just watched it. Have you seen
Oh,
it?
really?
I
I
just see
loved
it.
it.
It
Yeah.
was really good. Really, really
Yeah.
good. I cried a lot. Talk about catharsis.
Yeah. No, I think I did too. It's been a while since I saw it. But I mean, I think it, gosh, it like sometimes for, I guess for some people, it just takes a lot of trial and error before you realize that, like, wait, this isn't working for me. You know, it's not working for me to do things the way other people think I should do them, or to do the things the way you do them. You know, like
Right.
freaking, I love, you've probably read Amy Poehler's book, and
Yeah.
like she said something in there, like I think it was her, not Tina Fey. I get their books mixed up, but the good for you, not for me motto. You know, it's like very simple, but it's like, what works for every, you know, what works for you doesn't necessarily work for me. And like, what I need to do to take care of myself is to, you know, like your song, stay in and eat cheese, like by
Yeah.
myself. And like, if you want to go out, that's great. You know, like if you want to, you know, if you want to do, you know, eat these things in your life and that makes you happy, then good, you know, good for you. But that's not what I'm going to do, or that's
Right.
not my path to feeling okay with myself. And
Yeah, and that's a lot of shoulds. Like I like to say that most of us are ruled by a lot of shoulds, and like really unconsciously and subconsciously, like we have all of these beliefs about what we should be doing and what makes us responsible and what makes us a good person and what makes us a bad person, and it rules our lives, and it can make us so cruel to ourselves if we're like, well, I shouldn't be doing this, I shouldn't be doing this, and then kind of one of the helpful things to do is to start being aware. Well, what are your shoulds? Why are you so miserable? Why are you so anxious right now? Is there a should under that? There most likely is. And can you let that go and realize like that's a rule book that you've accepted as a fact, and it doesn't need to be. There are a million ways to have a happy, successful, quote unquote, life. And
Yeah.
shoulds are a big issue, I think, for a lot of us. Can you talk a little bit about what your self-care looks like?
Yeah, like I mean, for me personally, what I do right now, at least, like I exercise a lot, because that's what helps me. And you know, like I have to be very careful, that I don't fall into a pattern of like, if I'm having pain, I can't say like it's because I didn't exercise, you
Right,
know.
right.
Yet I also do realize that usually if I get to my some certain exercises that right now are working for me, if I get to them, I'll usually feel better. So then like you have to draw like a very, there's a very thin line between saying, oh, I have to do hard work now. You know, it's time to put in some hard work, Claire. You've been really slacking. You know, I don't ever say that to myself anymore, but I think that's kind of how I used to hear my voice inside my head, was like, you're in pain, and look, this is going to be a downward slope. It's a downward spiral, you know, like it starts here and then, you know, you'll never get up again.
Yeah, it's like a
Versus.
purity. I've been thinking about this recently. It's like this purity model or this purity ideal of like, if I let one little thing slip, like it's all gone to shit and like I'll never get it back. And if I can't like keep everything perfect and pristine and like pure, or like, then everything's gonna unravel and I'm gonna have lost all the like ground that I've gained. And it just doesn't work that way.
Yeah. Whereas I think like what honestly works best for me is like if I'm really having some issues with my body, and it's like usually if I'm not feeling good, I'll exercise and I'll feel better. But if I'm not feeling good and I start exercising and I don't feel better automatically, then I'm like, wait, this isn't my body, like, completely, you know? I don't know exactly what it is, but this is a big part of my brain, you know? This is a big part, like, something else that's going on here. And I usually just, like, I start doing my Feldenkrais stuff and I just cry, you know? Like, I just, you probably shouldn't use my last name on this because I have... You know, sometimes I'm like, oh God, I can't have like clients of mine. Like,
I'll take it out. I'll take it out.
I mean, it's fine. I'm very, in my personal life, very open about this stuff, yeah. But you have to draw a line sometimes. But like, I really do believe that for me, like, crying is like a physical release. Like, I literally can feel like the tone in my muscles, like, go down when I can just let go of things and allow the energy to move through me in whatever way it needs to, and to like take a break and to not, and so that when I do come back to exercising, you know, like if I did some planks and I don't feel better and I'm not starting to feel better and I just still feel stuck, then I can say, okay, well, I can't keep going with this, you know, like this isn't working right now. I have to try something else. Like, I have to try a different strategy. And so then I try that strategy, and then I just kind of see what feels good. And I realize this isn't easy for everybody, because I often feel very like lucky. I know this sounds crazy. Sometimes I feel lucky to have a chronic pain disorder, because it requires me to take care of my body in a way that I think not everybody is in touch with in the same way.
It sounds like it's forced you to become incredibly intuitive.
Yeah. So like, I really have to say, like, okay, if I'm feeling this, then I'm going to keep going with it. And sometimes I'll exercise for like an hour straight, like just doing like different core exercises, because that's what feels good to my body. And then sometimes I'll start doing a core exercise and it won't feel right, and I'll just start crying, and then I'll just have to take a nap.
I love it. It's so strangely liberating.
Yeah, like, to give yourself
surrender to, like, yeah.
Yeah.
You're taking such very like precise and precious care of yourself, but you're also surrendering to like wherever that takes you, and letting yourself off the hook in this really amazing way.
Oh my God, it's like improv.
Like
that,
it is.
Like when you said that, when you surrender, because that's like, and I mean, you know, for your listeners, they know that you're an improviser too, you're an actor.
I don't know if they know I'm an improviser, but you're a way better improviser than me, Claire.
I don't think I've even seen you do improv, so I don't know. I can't say that.
It's true. But she's better.
But you know, learning about improv, like, so much ties into all this, you know, because you basically like practice the skill of like being cool with whatever, and of like being so comfortable in like the uncertainty of not knowing what's going to happen next, and having to just surrender to like what someone else is maybe giving you, and or what you're giving yourself, or just like what's there, and just like taking what's there and saying, all right, I guess I'll use this. This is what I've got right now, and going with that instead of trying to push towards what you think is supposed to happen.
Yes.
You know, the improv scenes are ones where people are like, well, I think this should happen. And then their scene partner thinks this should happen. And they're just playing past each other instead of actually dealing with what's there. And that's like, I feel like what I have to do with myself all the time is just be like, I just have to take what's here today and use it.
But that's it's like turning crap into gold. Like, it really is. And through this, it's so amazing, you know, and I feel like we're not alone in this. I think it's really pretty common that people's worst, quote unquote, like the worst things that happen to them, or like the most difficult parts of their lives, become the parts that transform the way they live their life.
Yeah.
And like, there are even emotional attachment to like what happens and the outcome and everything. Wow. So good. So much wisdom and so many parallels to all of the dieting and the body obsession and the assumption that we're doing something wrong, that we need to be doing something differently, the willingness to surrender and listen. What else did I want to talk about? I have some questions that I ask most of my podcast guests, but I don't know that they really apply. Oh, wait, can you talk to me about, so Claire said that, told me the last time we were hanging out that she and her friend were trying to write a song about going through life and people asking
don't
her if
she's... Don't spoil it.
Okay. Wait.
I caught you. How about I'll just sing a portion of it?
Okay. This is Claire's
Is that
song.
A good thing to do?
Oh, it's a great thing to do. Please do it.
Let me see. Let me just find it.
Okay. She's writing a song that I
and
want
And then
her.
We can talk about it.
Okay, great. We can talk about it after, right?
Oh, gosh. Sorry. Someone's calling me. Decline. Decline. All right. Where are you? I'm looking for it in my drive. It's not coming up.
By the way, while you're looking for it, good for you, not for me was Amy Poehler. I Googled it.
Yeah. All right, here we go. All right, I'll just sing you the first verse and the chorus.
Okay.
We'll just do one.
Okay.
This might not be perfect. It's not in its...
Perfection is not what we're going for here.
It's just a little anecdote. Okay. When I'm walking down the street, other people are so sweet, so they'll stop me to congratulate my little growing lump. People try to feel a kick that makes other women sick. Well, I see their point, but me, I'm proud to just show off my bump. See, I have a bigger gut and an even bigger butt, but it isn't what you think. I'm not buying blue or pink. If you thought it was a baby, well, guess what? It's just fat. Yeah, though you thought it was a baby, it's just fat. Oh, and the fat will make me weigh beyond a few added pounds. I'm the roundest gal around, and you know that makes me proud. It goes on.
I love it so much. I love it. Wait, you can. Why don't you continue? I mean, you can continue if you want. You also can just maybe. What do you think?
I'll do one more. I'll do. Okay. I'll do one more little point. Okay.
Okay.
Let's see. Now you know we'll yeah. We'll put on hold for now.
When you when you finish the song, like we'll air it on the podcast. And yes. And direct people to your iTunes where you're selling it or something, because
I don't know about that, but yeah. My friend Becky has helped me write it. Her name's Becky Greenstein. She's like a musical theater composer, and she's amazing. I just had this idea basically from what you were saying, which is like it doesn't happen as much anymore, but once in a while it still happens. People used to always congratulate me like. Just random strangers, and sometimes people I knew too, like on the impending birth of my baby, and I was not pregnant. And I've had my own struggle with body image issues, I think, but it just hasn't been like the focal point of my life, you know. Sure. It hasn't been a main feature, because mm-hmm. there's other more pressing issues, you know? But you know, at times you can let it get you down. Like, sure. You have these people being like, oh my God, when are you due? Or like, is it a boy or a girl? Or just, and it would keep happening. And at first I would feel shitty about it, but then it became like a, oh my God, this is funny. Like, this is really funny. And then I would, what really struck me though, is that I would tell friends about it. Like, I would say to my friends, mm-hmm. isn't this funny? This person thought I was pregnant. And then like, I'd have friends who they were almost like embarrassed to talk about it.
Right.
You know, like, and I'd have to reframe the conversation for them. Like, I'd have to be like, no. Like, I'd tell my mom, you know,
right.
She gets it now. She thinks it's hilarious. But like, at first I'd have to be like, no, mom, like, I'm not upset. Like, this isn't this funny? Like,
like,
we don't have to be, you don't have to be upset for me. Like, this is more just like, isn't that funny that like people are that like assuming of other people or just that like, you know, what do? It's like,
I know.
You can't hate on someone because they came up to you with this big smile on their face, like beaming at you.
Right.
You know, and you're like, have to let them down to say, actually, it's not a baby, you know, but this is fine. You know what I mean? I look great. I know. I'm glowing. Like, I look great.
So
I just have a pregnant looking body. It's
Here's the
fine,
thing, like,
you know?
I've had people in my groups, like, write in like complete like horror and shame, and like, and they've written things like, I was doing so well with my body image, but today somebody asked me if I was pregnant, and like, how can I be okay with myself if people think I look pregnant slash fat? And understandably, just because of our like societal and cultural, you know, way of looking and talking about fat, and the way that people are shamed into assuming that there's something wrong with them. That's the takeaway. It was like, I was feeling good. Then someone thought I was pregnant, and I went back to realizing there must be something wrong with me.
Yes. Yeah. And it's like,
no, there's nothing wrong with you.
It's just, I don't know. People just being weird, or not even being weird. People
making assumptions. And it's not even like, it's not even a negative thing. They're complimenting you. They're like, oh, you look so happy.
Yeah. Like, and I guess finding the humor in that it's like, doesn't always, I don't know.
Well, also that it doesn't mean whatever the negative, like whatever the negative meaning that people jump to of like, oh, this just proves I don't look right. This just proves something's wrong with me. This just proves everyone notices my stomach, you know? And it's like, and therefore that proves that I should be doing something differently. None of those things are true. All of those things are, you know, assumptions that we
And I think the most empowering thing about a situation like that is when you're able to get to the point where you can say, oh my God, no, I'm not pregnant, but I know I do look great, you know? And whether you say that to the person or not,
to yourself,
to be able to say that is like, then you've kind of gotten to the next level of being like, oh, like, I know, I do look great, you know?
Well, I'm in control of my life. My life is awesome. You made this assumption about me. Not true. Moving on. As opposed to allowing that to, like, taint the rest of your year.
Yeah.
Being like, that was the year that somebody thought I was pregnant. Yeah, who cares? And then you had an awesome barbecue right afterwards. Like, life goes on, you know? So you're, like, the reframe, you know, and I think what's helpful is hearing, like, I always tell people to follow body positive and fat activists on Instagram, because like, it's one thing to conceptually hear like, it doesn't, like, I can be happy at whatever weight, I can be happy and beautiful and like, and like put on cool like clothes and lipstick at whatever state or whatever like size I am. And it's another thing to see other people actually putting it into action. Mm-hmm. So like, so basic, because it proves that it's possible, because I mm-hmm. think it's people just want to be like, well, again, good for you, but not for me. Like, you could be happy with your body, but I can't. And that's an instance of like, well, you actually can, like, and it actually is possible, and liberating to hear or see how someone else is applying like, hey, I'm great. Like, you can make all these assumptions about me, or you can have your own body image issues that maybe you can put on me, but I don't need to take that on, you know?
Yes. Yes, that's what it's about, is that, like, I'm sorry that you're uncomfortable with the fact that you called me pregnant and I'm not, but I'm not uncomfortable with it.
Right.
I'm just going to laugh it off and be fine.
Right.
But I'm sorry that you have to sit with this, like, uncomfortable feeling because you're so obsessed with weird body issues.
Mm-hmm.
Who the fuck cares?
Exactly. You know? And but hearing your perspective on it, I think, again, is, like, the more people think that way, the easier it is for other people to shift into that, to be like, oh my God, like that's a way I can live. I can be that kind to myself, and that like understanding that the way that other people are thinking doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to affect me at all. Okay. Let me see if any of my questions are even good. I feel like we've had such a good conversation that who cares about? Okay.
I mean, just what you were saying also though, makes me like, reminds me that, you know, just the idea that, like, you get to choose, you know, that, like, you get to choose how you want to live your life. And I feel like a lot of people, like, go, like, live without realizing that, or without, like thinking, like, oh, but I have to go to this baby shower on Sunday. Like, mm-hmm. I have to, that's what I have to do. Well, no, you don't. Like, you get to choose. And it's the same way about, you know, whatever it is, you know what I mean? You know, if you're going to, you get to choose whether you're going to feel shitty about this situation. You know, I get to choose if I'm going to feel shitty about being in pain, or if I'm going to say, you're doing so great, Claire. I know you're in a lot of pain, but you are doing so great.
It's
so good
true.
job. Like you cooked, did breakfast or whatever. You did one thing today. That's amazing. You know, and like the way you talk to yourself then feeds into your worldview about what you get to do and how you get to live your life. And you get to kind of choose how you're going to talk to yourself and what you're going to make your like outward expression of your life look like. Because, yes. You know, if you're not aware that you're talking to yourself in a way that's like hating on you, then it's just happening. Mm-hmm. It's like happening behind the scenes. It's mm-hmm. like there's little men in your brain who were like cranking the hate wheel and you're just living it.
Yeah.
Until you say, wait, oh my God, there's someone back. No, opposite direction. Like crank the I love myself wheel because I do. Claire, I'm doing a great job here, you know?
And you
and
are.
Then all of a sudden everything goes backwards and you're like, oh wait, everything's great. I'm doing a great job.
It's so true, but it's so right? true. And it's so simple in this weird way. Like answer is so simple, but because we're conditioned the opposite way, it seems like an impossibility to live that way, but it's not. And so the more examples of people that I can bring to the people who are listening to this podcast, the more examples of people like you who are like, nope, not living like that. I refuse to play that game.
Yes,
like, I refuse to play that game where I'm just mean to myself all the time and think I'm not doing life right. Like, I'm doing life right.
I'm actually going to play the exact opposite game. Yeah. Like, I'm going to actually be like, I'm doing everything right, you know?
Yeah. And then that becomes its own self-fulfilling prophecy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. You get to choose what the prophecy – like, you get to – it's crazy.
You're like your own prophet. That's weird. I was gonna make some Harry Potter reference, but it took too long to like think of all the characters and like Trelawney and like the prophecy. It didn't work.
Okay.
It's okay.
It's all right.
Next time. Claire, thank you so much. I'm so excited about sharing this. I think that you are one of the wisest people I know. And you know it.
I think so too.
Guys, thank you so much for listening. Again, subscribe on iTunes. You can support this podcast by supporting it on patreon.com/Caroline Duner or by signing up for Fucketeer Academy and getting a lot of other cool things or by joining Become Your Own Damn Guru. If you can hear that sound, that is the sound of the stove being wet and angry because I'm making myself dinner. So I'm going to go do that. And there's no song this week, but there will be songs in the future if that's something that you like. And I will catch you later with another podcast at another time. Goodbye.